Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and it's Grimm's Hentai Corner. We're playing Amatsutsumi, which is a new game that just got released. Well, translated. It came out in 2016, which isn't that long ago. So it had all these spiffy new settings I've never heard of before for a visual novel. It was crazy. And apparently, we're gonna watch a movie. Yeah, this is the same company that gave us Chrono Clock, which is also releasing very shortly. Yeah, it was so beautiful, I had to sneeze, man. Just had to get it out. But alright, we're ready to go now that that's done. I hope it's in English. If not, I wasted $30. Well, 20-something. It's actually on sale at Jast right now. And GOG, like, have yet to add the discount. Egg. Yes, indeed. Beneath the blazing summer sun, the ground is very hot. Hot enough that you could fry an egg on it. As I lie flat on my back in the dirt, I feel like my head is being cooked to perfection. Yes, I am an egg, and an egg am I. But maybe my head isn't cooking, maybe it's incubating. What will hatch out of my head? A chick? Maybe God? People ask whether the chicken came from the egg or the egg came from the chicken. But even if both chickens and eggs came from God, God might have come from an egg too. Or maybe the egg that is in my head. There is yet another egg. Let me try that again. Or maybe inside the egg that is my head, there is yet another egg. Wait, what on earth am I thinking? My heat-addled brain has apparently been running off the rails. I can tell from my cramped muscles, weak body, and confused mind that I must be suffering from heat stroke. I've been making sure to stay hydrated, but it hasn't been enough. I've been walking through the mountains for several days without much food, and I must have sweated away too many electrolytes. I was so relieved to finally come across this man-made dirt path that I collapsed on the spot. Now I can't move a muscle. Could this be the end? Heatstroke, of all the stupid... Actually, no. I shouldn't be so careless with my words. If this is to be my fate, I couldn't ask for a more fitting end. I'd chosen to follow my heart, and if this is a result, so be it. I try to resign myself with the impending death as my consciousness begins to fade. Suddenly, a dark shadow flits across my vision. Something incredibly heavy smashes down on my face. Gah! I manage to muster the strength to writhe on the ground. Talk about kicking a guy when he's down. What? I stepped on something squishy. Through the pain, I hear a surprised but not very concerned voice somewhere overhead. Whoa, a person? I'm so sorry, are you okay? A long-haired girl is staring down at me. Now she's looking mortified. Apparently she hasn't noticed me lying on the side of the path. Now, not at all how I expected to meet my first outsider. It doesn't hurt. It isn't a real solution, but the pain in my face vanishes as soon as my voice reaches my ears. If I may ask, why were you lying down on the ground all the way out here? Water. What? Salt. Water. Salt water? Oh, do you have heat stroke? The girl jumps up surprised and begins looking around. Maybe an energy drink, but there aren't any vending machines around here. Oh wait, I have electrolyte lozenges. She produces some small, tablet-like objects. I carry them around in summer just in case, but I never thought I'd actually need to use them. She speaks to herself as she pops one of the objects into my mouth. As a powerful, salty taste spreads across my tongue, I feel energy returning to my poor body. Thank you. As I salivate, it becomes easier to speak. If you're able to walk now, I can take you back to our place and give you something to drink. Can I walk? Despite almost passing out a minute ago, I'm feeling more alive thanks to the rock salt, which is somehow turning sweet in my mouth. The stump to the face helped too. But I'm not feeling lively enough to actually stand up. On the other hand though, I can't just keep lying here waiting for death. I decide that it's safe to push myself for a little while. Body, stand up. I mutter softly so that only I can hear. Instantly, without any conscious effort, my palms begin to brace me against the ground as my legs and arms push me to a standing position. Yeah, woo! I reel. Unsurprisingly, I suddenly feel dizzy and my heart is pounding. I'm not allowing myself to feel the pain, but my body is in dire shape and I know I might drop dead at any moment. Well then, shall we go? My name is Makoto. The girl's ready to help me walk down the path, but I want to make sure to introduce myself while I'm still conscious. I'm Kokoro. Orbe Kokoro. Kokoro. Wow, you called me by my given name and you didn't even use an honorific. You didn't call her Kokoro-san. Oh, it would be Orbe-san. Right. I start to correct myself and call her Orbe-san, but I notice she's chuckling happily. What a surprise finding a boy collapsed on the side of the road. Is it unusual? I think it would be pretty normal to never have that happen in your whole life. Is that so? I think to myself. Anyway, let's go, shall we? Head, nod. I whisper to myself and my head nods in response. One more. Body, walk. So when he's in the bathroom, is he like, ass, shit? Like, penis, urinate. I mean, come on, we gotta ask the important questions here. The two of us slowly make our way down the path, and after about 20 minutes, we come upon a settlement. A settlement, a town. I'd love to inspect every inch of it, but I'm in no state for it, physically or mentally. I feel the Reaper breathing down my neck at every step, but I can't even muster a cold sweat. Kokoro stops and turns to look at a building on the side of the road. We made it. This is the place. The house is built in a Japanese style that isn't unfamiliar to me, but it doesn't look like an average house. There's a sign that says, Cafe Origami. Yep, that's right. My house is a cafe. Oh, don't worry. We won't charge you anything. I'm just being a good Samaritan. Mom, I'm home. Welcome back. Oh. When I follow Kokoro into the cafe, a woman who looks a bit like Kokoro looks at me curiously. Well, it's because it's her mother. She's wearing highly decorative clothing, so I can tell she must be of high social standing. Man, this guy must have been in fucking isekai world or something. Listen, Mom. This is Makoto-kun. My, I'm Oribe Azuki. So, is Makoto-kun one of your friends, Kokoro? I think it's Kokoro. Kokoro looks at the two of us in turn, uncertain what to say. I found him. Can I keep him? Oh my. This conversation is taking an odd turn, but I'm busy being impressed by how nice and cool it is in the room. It's the height of summer just outside the door, but inside the house, it's almost like winter has come. I heard of this. It's a machine called an air conditioner. Incredible. Kokoro, we serve food here. You know I like dogs and cats as much as you do, but I've told you, you can't just pick up strays, okay? Aw. Don't you aw me. But, what if I picked up a penguin or a koala? It'd attract customers. You know, a penguin might be alright. I wish a penguin or two would turn up somewhere. Try the North Pole. I love polar bears too. Get to packing. We depart for the Arctic tomorrow. What? I think it would be easier to just steal one from the zoo. You're right. Let's go commit some larceny. God damn, mother and daughter criminals. I want to ask what a penguin was, but I can't find the right moment to butt in. This conversation is moving too fast for me to keep up, and I'm clearly out of my depth. And when I found him, he was on the verge of death, so I had to save him. The verge of death? He had collapsed from heat stroke, so I thought it would be good to give him something to drink. Oh my goodness me, why didn't you say so? Yes, I think some warm salted kelp tea will do him some good. I gazed blankly at the two of them. Kokoro places a kettle full of water on top of something, and I hear a snapping sound as she lights a fire with just one finger. You really don't use fireworks for cooking, do you? Huh? Wood? Oh, nothing. That machine is, I see, emitting flames in front of Kokoro probably isn't anything special to the average person. Soon, I find a teacup placed before me. I put it to my mouth. This is an excellent tea with a fine flavor and barely any aftertaste. But right now, my body only cares about the water content. Ah, I feel like I'm finally back to normal again. Thank you very much. Oh, don't worry about it. So, Makoto-kun, are you, an actor from a historical drama or something? Huh? Yeah, look at the way he wears his yukata. Is there something strange about my yukata? I spread my arms to show her my yukata, which is admittedly less than fresh after my days-long hike through the mountains. Oh no, it suits you very well. In fact, it suits you almost too well. Ah, I get it. I did know that people usually wear Western clothing here in the outside world, but I didn't have any other clothes. Maybe he really is an actor from a period film, or maybe he's in a drama club at school? Maybe he's a time traveler. Oh, that could actually be it! The two of them are whispering to each other, and it's not like I can't hear them at this distance. I know what time travel is, and that actually might be pretty close to the truth in a certain sort of way. Makoto-kun, do you feel any better now? Kokoro comes closer to me with a smile on her face. You sure look much better. You're not pale like before. Yes. If you're feeling up to it, can you tell me more about yourself and why you were collapsed out there on the side of the road? Maybe it would be better to call his parents first. Oh, that's true. Actually, I'd rather you didn't. If they find out where I am, they'll force me to go back. I start to get flustered, but then it hits me. Wait, I don't even remember where I came from, so we can't contact anyone anyway. You don't remember where you came from? Right. I'm not sure whether I should say more, but they did save my life after all. I should at least tell them something. The place where I lived before is deep, deep in the mountains. It took me several days of hiking before I got to that road I collapsed on. Several days? Four, I think. I try to remember how many times I'd slept along the way. I see. So what's your home phone number? There are no telephone lines there, or even electricity. I don't have any family either, so I don't think it'll be necessary to contact anyone. Isn't there anyone there who has a cell phone? I think there were two or three cell phones in the village. Their batteries were all flat, of course. No phone lines, and it takes days of mountain hiking to get there. Do places like that even exist in Japan anymore? Sounds like this one's got a bit of a history to it. You think so? Now, Kokoro, you picked him up, so you're gonna be the one to take care of him, alright? Man, it's like he's a stray dog or something. Be sure to feed and water your man, and take him out to use the bathroom. Well, okay. Apparently they've decided to treat me like a charity case, or even a basket case, but who could blame them? I'm so ignorant of the world that I might as well be a clueless time traveler, or whatever else. Now then, what to do next? I slowly draw the tea into my mouth as I think. Who am I? I am he who speaks, bane but a word, boon but a word. I whisper. Though I can't explain everything to them, I'm simply not equipped to survive on my own. These two seem nice, and if possible, I'd like to ask for their help. And anyway, my longing for deep and fulfilling communication with others was the reason I ran in the first place. I think back over the last few days. 4 days. It seems like a lifetime ago. 4 days ago, I was still back in that hidden place. That day, I was looking out over the village, feeling that gentle, early summer breeze at my back. This place was too quiet. The smell of the flooded paddy fields, the sound of the rice plants and the grass swaying in the wind, and nothing else. No human sound, no voices, no words existed in this place. As the distant descendants of the ancient mountain gods, we had inherited the power of Kotodama, which entered into our worlds when we spoke. And so we spoke rarely. Our village was an otherworldly place where people interacted with each other only by the slightest movements and gestures. I am he who speaks. Bane, but a word. Boom, but a word. But while other worlds, like our village, were all well and good 1,000 or even 100 years ago, nowadays it's hard to stay truly isolated. No matter how different our village was, it was still connected to the rest of the earth. In fact, at regular intervals, some adults would be chosen to put on Western clothing and leave the village on expeditions. When they returned, they brought with them medicines, farming equipment, or fuel, and various useful items made with strange materials like plastic or aluminum. I still hadn't seen the outside world with my own eyes, but the fragments of it I'd seen brought back by these returning adults had been more than enough to steal my heart. You must leave. A voice reverberated deep within me. As I stood there, I heard footsteps behind me. I turned and saw one of the other villagers walking towards me. He glanced at me briefly as he passed by and continued walking silently towards his house. Neither of us had spoken a word, nor had I expected otherwise. I just wish I could greet someone once in a while. I gave voice to my thoughts. Good morning. Hello. How are you? Good evening. Greetings, words of closeness, words of courtesy. The words quickly dispersed, carried away on the summer breeze. I returned home and put away my farming implements. The day's work was done, but this close to the summer solstice, I often had time to spare before the sun set. I looked around the inside of my house in the fading light. I was living here all alone. When I was a young child, an epidemic had swept the village, and both of my parents had succumbed. The epidemic had come back to the village from outside, unwittingly brought back by people returning from an expedition. If we had been more isolated, we would have been safe. But on the other hand, if we had been less isolated, our immunity would be stronger, and we would have had access to modern medicine, which could have cured the disease easily. In a way, the outside world caused the deaths of my parents, but in a way, it also could have saved their lives. Beyond the borders of the village, both good and evil awaited. My obsession with the outside world was likely caused by the dichotomy I'd been aware of since early childhood. I couldn't think of anything to do, nor did I have any work left, so I decided to leave the house for a bit. Walking along the mud banks lining the flooded paddy fields, I looked around to make sure nobody was watching and slipped into a thicket. As I pushed further into the dusky woods, the air became colder, and I began to hear the sound of water. I had arrived at the bank of a mountain stream. Making sure not to slip on the mossy stones underfoot, I made my way to a certain tree and withdrew a metal box from a hollow in its trunk. I opened the box and took out several books wrapped carefully in a plastic bag. These were manga and novels, books that were forbidden in the village. Probably someone on a shopping expedition had been like me, with a fancy for outside culture, and had secretly brought these books back with them. I'd read through each of these books dozens of times and completely memorized their contents. Still, I carefully picked through the collection one by one until I finally settled on a manga. It was a weekly. It said on the cover that it was published once every week, so that's probably something like Shonen Jump. Inside was depicted all the richness of human relationships. Yes, it was all about communication. A view into a world where people were free to use words, free to hurl their emotions and desires at each other. The only thing I found disappointing about these stories is that they had no ends. To be continued next week. There were no beginnings, no ends, just tantalizing middles. School, a place of learning where boys and girls my age gathered together. Schools were the most common setting for these stories. Schools were the most common setting for these stories, and it seemed that even in the outside world, schools were considered special places. You must leave. I wish I could go to a school one day. I was startled to hear my name being called. Someone had come right up next to me, but I had been so engrossed in my reading that I hadn't noticed. I looked up and saw a familiar face, one I'd known since I was a child. Kozukamana was the only close friend in the village. She was also my fiancée, and I loved her dearly, though I often found her hard to deal with. So you came out here again. Well, there's the big bust, heroine. I stared. Yeah, I did too. Mana was the only one who knew about this place and about my passion for forbidden books. Oh, scary. Have you ever smiled even once in your life? She laughed gently. You just startled me, that's all. Maybe you wouldn't be startled if you weren't doing something naughty. It's not naughty. These books are only taboo because the people of our village decided they were. That's true. Mana nodded as she took off her sandals and put her feet into the water. She always became talkative as soon as the two of us were alone together, which was just as taboo as my book reading. There we go, there's a nice CG for you guys. Look at that. Her feet look a little clawy here, though. It's kind of weird how the foot's drawn just kind of weird over there. To us, conversation was a game. A risky game that we had to play in secret, lest anyone else hear. As long as you avoided commands or strong declarations, your Kotodama power wouldn't enter into the worlds you spoke. But if the words, not the worlds. We're not in that kind of game. The words you spoke, but of course, it was easy to slip if you weren't careful. And that danger was what made it fun. Same with her feet claws over there. Do you really think the outside world is that great? Mana adjusted her shawl and asked me the same question she always did. At that moment, a small flurry of faintly blue-tinged snow drifted across my sight. Once someone had used their Kotodama power on Mana, saying it's snowing and it's so cold. And so, to this day, snow was always falling around her, even in the height of summer, both indoors and out. Other people couldn't touch the snow and could only see glimpses of it occasionally, but to Mana herself it was very real and very cold. Boy, I bet she hated it. I'm not as much of a dreamer as you think. Even I know that the world outside the village is in some heavenly place where everything's wonderful all the time. I ignored the snow and answered her question. She never liked it when people mentioned the snow. I just want to see it and experience it for myself, that's all. No, that's not the point. If you just wait a few years, you'll probably get chosen for an expedition eventually, right? So why break the taboos now? Why not just wait? That's all I'm trying to say. I weighed her words. Surely she wasn't just talking about reading manga. No, it seemed that she had guessed the truth, that I was itching to actually leave the village as soon as possible. Honestly, I don't really know why I'm so impatient to see it, but I always hear a voice. A voice? It says, you must leave. When I'm alone in my bed at night and hear that voice, my heart stirs and I feel like I have to escape from here. Mana looked down at her feet and thought for a while. She says, man, I really gotta do something about those claws. I mean, she doesn't have toenails. She's got fucking feet claws, I'm telling you. Look at that foot, folks. That's straight triangles. And then she looked up at me. Well, let's say you really were going to up and leave the village right now. Would you just leave me behind, Makoto? Yeah, you and your feet claws over there. No. Would you come with me, Mana? I carefully deflected her question with a question of my own. It was a precariously balanced question. Even I wasn't sure whether I was just joking or whether I was extending her a serious invitation. Mana didn't answer right away, but soon she let out a small sigh. I don't know. I've never thought about it. But I do know one... Are we done? Okay, but I do know one thing. I couldn't imagine a life without you by my side. I... You don't have to answer. I moved my mouth, but Mana's Kodadama wouldn't let me speak. Mana. Apparently I could still say words that weren't answers. I rubbed my throat and looked at her, only to finally realize what was going on. Mana was grinning in amusement. That grin could only mean one thing. She was up to something, and I was about to be the hapless victim of that something. Mana, don't! I tried to tell her not to say anything more. If I phrased as a strong command, my Kodadama could stop whatever she was trying to do to me. But I was just a whisper too late. And in any case, her Kodadama is one of the strongest in the history of our clan. Even if we had spoken at exactly the same time, I'm sure I would have lost the exchange. Don't move. My entire body froze in place, and even my lips couldn't move. My senses were fully intact, but I was finding it draining to hold this position indefinitely. She affected a sweet sigh. I'm sorry for being so sudden. I'm always trying to be a good girl in your eyes. Makoto, I really am. But look what you're making me do. It's partly your fault too, you know. Mana sidled up to me and put her hand to my cheek. As she came closer, I felt the air chill like I was lying next to a block of ice. Through Mana's low body temperature, I was indirectly feeling the effects of the snow Kodadama that Mana had suffered from. Man, it's like touching a doll. Mana placed her lips on mine. Oh, man. Are we gonna roll into this now, folks? I guess so. It's Grimm's Hentai Corner. Keep that in mind. Since I'd been in the middle of a sentence, my mouth was half open, and Mana's tongue entered it easily. Now, these are long as shit, so probably by the end of this, we'll be done. She pushed her lips against mine harder and ventured further in. Paralyzed, I could do nothing but follow the path her cold tongue traced around the inside of my mouth. I did like kissing. I did like making love as well. As my fiancé, Mana was naturally my first partner and I was hers, and we'd done the deed many times. While verbal communication was forbidden in the village, physical intimacy was encouraged, especially since our clan was prone to infertility. Oh! Before long, Mana's hand found and opened the hem of my yukata and began sliding along my lower body. She stroked her delicate fingers up to the inside of my thigh, inching closer and closer to my groin. I wasn't opposed to the direction things were going, but I couldn't protest even if I wanted to. All I could do was exhale my warm breath into her mouth. She accepted that breath into her throat, along with my saliva. She withdrew her face as she continued to stroke my crotch. Mana's skin was unusually pale because of the cold, but now there was a touch of redness in it. I guess this part of you is still able to grow, even though I told you not to move. That was a strange thing to be impressed by, I thought, as she gazed up at me. It's not really very fun when you don't say anything back to me. You may speak. Also, you may change your facial expression. Ah! The first thing I do is take a deep breath. I don't think he says hi, I think it's more like, ah. Hey, Mana? It's nice to try stuff like this once in a while, don't you think? She spoke absentmindedly as she rubbed my genitals. My eyebrows contorted. Mana having her way with me while I was unable to move a muscle. That was a very attractive proposal. Though she said she enjoys tormenting me, I knew that her love for me was true. So I knew that if I just let her keep going, what awaited me would be something very pleasurable indeed. And she knew that I knew that, which is why she let me speak again. Members of our clan would never truly be defenseless as long as our voices were intact. Even if we were tied up or had our limbs broken. And since Mana wasn't speaking at the moment, I could immediately bring an end to this if I wanted. Are you sure you want to stop me? She was testing me. I'll take your silence as consent. She kissed me again and began moving down my body. Exhaling as she passed over my chest, she finally knelt between my legs. Usually submissive pose, today it made me feel even more helpless than before. If you leave the village, you won't be able to do things like this with me anymore, you know? After whispering those words, she set to work. I would say she got to work, but whatever. Okay, so this doesn't have any kind of filter. That's good. Mana took my entire member into her mouth without hesitation. My vision blurred as a wave of pleasure washed over me. I couldn't see, but I could feel my penis becoming wetter as she spread her saliva all over it. Although her skin was cold, the inside of her mouth was hot. She says, "You're getting bigger." Mana looked up at my face as she tucked her hair back behind her ear with one hand. I gritted my teeth trying to withstand the sensation, but my ragged breath continued to escape from between my lips. Ah. Hee hee, you love it when I suddenly attack you, don't you? I know you better than you know yourself. As soon as I opened my mouth to speak, she began licking the tip of my shaft, and I let out a yelp. Mana's rough tongue felt unbearably good. Her Kodadama wouldn't even let me shiver, so the waves of pleasure simply reverberated within my body. I quickly forgot whatever it was I was trying to say as she continued to lick my glands. As she played with my member using her tongue, her lips, and the inside of her cheek, she kept her eyes fixed on my face. Her eyes were full of love, yet emanated cold. My feeling of humiliation and my desire to be humiliated even more mixed together and made me even more aroused. She was deliberately making lewd sounds as she sucked on me. My body was beginning to get used to the pleasure. Now I could notice that Mana's nostrils were widened. Her icy skin was beginning to show signs of sweat. While pleasuring me, she was becoming aroused too. Mana started moving her head backward and forward and pressing her ample breasts against me, letting me know she wanted more. Suddenly, she giggled. And then she moved her mouth with a small distance away from my genitals. My moist penis exposed to the air felt cool. It's so hot. She exhaled softly. I don't feel cold anymore when I'm with you, Makoto. Her voice and facial expression were languid, but she kept moving her fingers deftly, keeping my dick at attention. The feel of her cold fingers and palm contrasting with the warm light of the descending sun made the sensation stand out all the more. I could feel the individual movements of all of her fingers on my organ, her thumb stroking the rounded tip, the curled fist joint of her index finger playing with the ridge at the base of the glands, her middle and ring fingers firmly grasping the entire shaft, and the nail of her little finger, which from time to time gently scratched the base. Every one of these stimuli to my sensitized members sent shivers of pleasure up my spine. Hey, Makoto, do you like my mouth or my hands better? The slower and more gently Mana spoke, the more force she put into her busy hand. She was testing me, and she was loving me. I like being sucked by her moist and warm mouth, and I also like being stroked off by her delicate fingers. But I chose to remain silent. I see. Realizing that I'd swallowed my words, Mana narrowed her eyes. She smiled. Makoto, let's chat, shall we? She was stroking me so vigorously now that bubbles were forming in the leftover saliva She was stroking me so vigorously now that bubbles were forming in the leftover saliva coating my member. The fingers of her other hand began to crawl up my inner thigh. Answer me. I like both of them, but if I had to pick one, I prefer your mouth. My lips moved automatically and my voice spilled out. And why is that? You're always so forward and dominating, so it makes me feel good to look down on you as you're sucking my dick. My face flushes with shame at what I'm saying. A shiver runs up my spine. I see. I get it. That's fine with me. I'll pleasure you all you want. After all, I belong to you, Makoto. And you belong to me. Mana smiled faintly at my words. Not only had she dragged my most private thoughts out into the open, but she had accepted them too. My lower body began to ache even more. Mana! What is it? What do you want me to do, Makoto? Mana looked closely at my face. All the while, she continued to stroke my penis just fast enough to keep me on the edge. I found it hard to finish my sentence. All I had to do was ask, and Mana would surely lead me straight to orgasm. While she acted like she was having her way with me, she would be happy to follow my instructions if I gave them. This was a game between the two of us, and her words and attitude towards me were carefully crafted to arouse both me and herself. She and I had played these respective roles countless times in the past. So I knew that in reality, we were on equal footing no matter how it played out. But, if I was really going to leave the village, this could be the last time I'd ever make love to her. And because I loved her, the thought of this being our last time made me hesitate to give in to her as usual. Oh? Mana reacted happily. You don't have to hold back, you know. Her expression showed what she was thinking. So, he's decided to fight back today. She had mistaken my reticence for resistance, but I couldn't tell her what I was really thinking, so I didn't say anything more. Let me see you make more of those cute faces, Makoto. Let me hear you make more of those cute sounds. Okay? And in the next moment, my member was once again engulfed by Mana's mouth. Your hands and feet can't move at all, but your dick is twitching. It really can't wait, can it? Don't worry. I'll play with you all you want. I'll excite you so much more. Because you belong to me, and only me. She rained kisses on my tip, then took me deep into her mouth. My breath caught as my tip brushed against the back of Mana's throat. Despite some visible discomfort, she was servicing me gladly, and the sight of it pulled me in. Mana pulled her face back along my dick while sucking on it. Ah, Mana, that feels great. At my inadvertent confession, Mana's eyes twinkled happily. Her tongue began to trace along the underside of my penis from the base to the head, trying to make me say more. She was deliberately making wet noises as she sucked my penis even more vigorously. Incredible. Makoto, your dick got even bigger. It's filling my mouth. Mana, usually so calm and collective, was desperately pleasuring me now, shaking her hair back and forth. Even her skin was getting warm. Because her Kotodama had frozen in place, I was able to concentrate all five of my senses onto her and the stimulation she was giving me. An aching heat formed at the base of my spine. Makoto, let me hear your voice more. I love hearing your voice, Makoto. I want you to cry out again. Mana! Spurred on by her sweet pleading, I cried out her name. You can't hold it anymore? I know you can't. As her fingers rubbed my member, slick with saliva and pre-cum, her voice was becoming strained and her cool smile was turning into something hungrier. I could tell that I wasn't the only one who couldn't hold back. You're right. I can't. Yes, I know, Makoto. Even though you can't move, your dick is telling me all I... Mana couldn't be bothered to finish her sentence as she went down on me again. My penis had become so sensitive that I couldn't tell I was going to come on the next suck. But...
Mr. Hermit?
You can't come yet, Makoto. What? Suddenly I felt like a heavy weight had been somehow been... Suddenly I felt like a heavy weight had been somehow shackled to me. And the feeling of imminent ejaculation disappeared. Mana, what the... Ah! Without sparing a moment to listen to my complaint, she quickly returned to servicing me. Told you they were long. Hopefully not maggot baits long. As she moved her head back and forth, she moved her tongue along the crevice in the head of my dick. Huh. Ah! Normally that would finish me off, but now it was excruciating. I was feeling that last burst of pleasure before orgasm over and over again. I couldn't breathe. Mana knew what she was doing to me, and kept doing it even more. Well, we're not gonna do that. Wow, there's so much pre-cum. It's as much as if you were. Yeah, Mamana, I'm really. I was almost screaming now. My dick felt like it was being pulled out of my body. My hands wanted to grab Mana's head and push her into me, but my lips wouldn't move. I wanted to come. Oh, how I wanted to come. Lord have mercy. You want to come, don't you? You want to come so hard in my mouth, Makoto. You want to impregnate my mouth. Good Lord. There you go, guys. I know you wanted to hear me fucking say it. You know how good it'll feel after this when you finally come. Mana's ministrations had lost all subtlety now as she moved her head back and forth rhythmically. From her voice, she seemed on the verge of orgasm as well. Sorry, folks, I'm getting myself situated here. I want to come. I want to come! Yes, but wait. Wait, just a little. I feel like there's these men in suits. No, you can't come. No, sir, you shall not come. There will be no coming of the penis today. No coming of the penis. I let out an inhuman sound at the roughness of her motions and the obscenity of the sounds I was hearing. I couldn't hang on any longer. Ah, you can come now. Huh? The heavy feeling suddenly lifted from my pelvis as I heard Mana say something far in the distance. Oh, Lord. Come, Makoto, you can come now. Shoot your sperm into my mouth. Let me drink it. God. Mana seemed to be reaching her own peak as she dived back into onto my member. By focusing all my willpower on the desire to let loose into her mouth, I let the semen gather within me for a few more seconds. Mana! Oh, there we go! My dick twitched within her mouth as I ejaculated. My semen flew into her throat with every pulse of my member. It was as if multiple orgasms worth of sperm, semen, and pleasure had all been concentrated into this one moment. I felt like I was going crazy as I came and came and came. Amada's vocalization synchronized with the spurts of my cum and with the flashing lights going off in my head. The pleasure of the vibration and the sound of acne breaking over me again and again. My orgasm was so intense that my mind seemed to be floating in space. Mana didn't let a drop of semen get away, even though the sheer quantity of it was almost choking her. In fact, she was using her fingers to squeeze even more out of my dick.
The longest blowjob ever.
This blowjob was brought to you by Jast. Mana fixed her lips on my glands, sucking out the last of the sperm. And inside her mouth, her tongue guided my last load into the pool of semen at the back of her throat. Realizing that I was finished, she audibly swallowed the pool of collected semen. My member still in her mouth, I felt every muscle movement as she swallowed. The whole time, she was looking up at me salaciously, trying to fan the flames of my arousal with her bewitching gaze. And it worked! The thought of my sperm defiling Mana from the inside made me hot again. I'd satisfied my sexual desire so thoroughly only a few seconds ago, and yet I was already feeling the ache in my groin once again. Mana! You really came buckets today. I almost couldn't swallow it all, but I'm glad I was able to clean my plate. She murmured to me as the tension left her body, collapsing against my side and turning her eyes on me as she gently stroked my organ. Mana's cold touch felt pleasant on my still recovering penis. Mana, I love you. I let the words spill from my mouth absentmindedly. I truly didn't mean to say them out loud, and I certainly wasn't forced to say them by a Kotodama. But her love for me and my love for her were so full in that moment that the words flowed naturally. Thank you, Makoto. Mana smiled tenderly. I love you. I love you too, Makoto. I love you. I love you, Makoto. I wanted to respond to her tenderness. Move. I spoke forcefully, trying to struggle against Mana's Kotodama. I wanted to move. I wanted to make love to Mana. I wanted to pleasure her in return. The tips of my fingers twitched and my arms trembled, but I still wasn't able to overturn her don't move from earlier. I just wanted to make her happy, but my stupid Kotodama power was too weak. How irritating! Oh, right. I'm sorry. Mana realized what I was trying to do and used her own Kotodama, sounding apologetic. You can move. With those simple words, I felt completely normal again, as if I had never been frozen in place. Woo! My muscles and joints had been stuck in an uncomfortable position for quite a while, so I took the opportunity to stretch and shake them out. Are you alright? She seemed worried. After all she'd done to me, now she was worried? I scoffed at her playfully in my head. Don't worry, I'm totally fine. My body was relatively strong, so it was no big deal. Mana didn't seem convinced. To show her I was fine, I suddenly sat up, pushing her off me and pouncing on her. Wow. She blushed lightly as her yukata slid to the side, exposing her breasts. But it was just a blush. There was no hint of refusal or rejection in her expression. She'd made me feel so very good, and now it was my turn. This was nothing new either. That's how it always was when we made love. Mana, you're so beautiful. Before touching her chest, I had to spend a few moments just admiring it. Can't blame you there, sir. Well, I wouldn't know, but I like it when you tell me that, Makoto. Mana smiled happily, a little embarrassed. Her breasts were where her cold skin was normally the palest, and where her soft body jiggled the most. So they were the most interesting place to watch when she was blushing or fidgeting. Despite the heat of summer surrounding us, I could see the sweat as it evaporated from her skin, condensing in the cold air around her body. She's quite literally steaming. What a beautiful sight. I could happily look at her all day long. But my nipples are, you know. She hugged herself shyly. Mana's nipples were hidden inside the tips of her breasts. When pleasuring me, she never hesitated for a moment, but when it came to her own body, she's very self-conscious about her nipples. Very important thing, guys. I love your nipples, too. Apparently most women's nipples weren't like this, but how would I know? I've only ever seen Mana's. Wow. In fact, I always looked forward to watching them grow and come out from hiding as I looked and played with them. Hey, aren't you going to touch me like always? She fidgeted. Being stared at so much was finally getting to her. I thought about teasing her a bit longer, but finally I reached out to touch her. She let out a small cry, though I'd only brushed my fingertips against her. She was usually so forward and sure of herself, but her nipples were so sensitive to stimulating them turned her into a different, even cuter animal. We'll do another 30 minutes of this, but after that, we're pretty much going to be done. With every touch to her hidden erogenous zones, a sound of excitement came from her mouth. I especially liked how she bit her lip from time to time as if to help her bear the pleasure. Don't focus on, my nipples, so much. But this isn't this the best way to make you feel good? Hiding my own arousal, I asked her a rhetorical question. I could take great handfuls of her breasts and enjoy massaging them, but playing with her nipples elicited her most exaggerated reactions. Mana pouted unhappily, or happily. Well, yes. And you're not so innocent either, are you? You were focusing on the most sensitive part of my body just a minute ago. I teased her. She giggled. That's true. We both know each other too well. Ah! While she was speaking, I had returned to caressing her. Satisfied with her reply, I was digging into her right breast with the fingers on my left hand. I found her right nipple and pinched it. That's so good! I can't, my breasts will. Each time I lightly twisted her nipple, Mana's body shivered. No, don't pinch. While not as much as during sex, I could tell that she was losing control in response to the pleasure and embarrassment. Her icy body was heating up, and her breath was hot enough to condense in the cold air near her face, as proof of the pleasure she must be feeling. Makoto, Mana whispered urgently. She was right. Her arousal and the stimulation from my finger was making her nipple expand, and it was about to show itself. Or maybe she meant that she was gonna come. Well, either way was fine with me. I hooked my fingers and dug even deeper into her breasts. Mana moaned with pleasure. The motions of my fingers were telling her body to let it out. No, Her voice sounded almost as if my dick was in her pussy, and her body too was trembling violently. Her expression melted, and something changed in the tone of her voice. Did you come already? As I whispered to her, a predictable blush ran across her body. A little. Don't ask me that, you. Sorry, but I guess you're especially sensitive today. No, I'm not. Yeah! I scratched her nipple lightly with a fingernail, and her body tensed up again. She was coming again. Don't get ahead of yourself. She looked at me accusingly, but I could see the desire in her eyes. I could also see that one of her hands was slowly, furtively moving back and forth between her legs. She hadn't gotten enough. She wanted more. And she was waiting expectantly for me to give it to her. Sure thing. I replied, though, to what? I wasn't sure. I licked my dry lips and also wet my right hand with saliva in preparation. I could hear Mana's breaths of anticipation. Mana began to moan loudly as soon as my mouth touched her breast. Her voice was different from before. This was her real voice, what she sounded like when she wasn't holding back at all. As I continued to stimulate her right nipple with my finger, the addition of my mouth to the other nipple pushed her over the edge, and she was coming yet again. I looked around the tip of her left breast. Licking me. Like. Like that. Don't. Not now. I can't. I kept licking as her moans and sighs of pleasure filled my ears and warmed my heart. The surface of Mana's skin was cool, but underneath that superficial layer, her body was filled with sexual heat. I was licking the sweat off her breasts as it welled up, and its lewd taste seemed almost sweet. My tongue delved into her left breast and finally found her other nipple. I rolled it around on the tip of my tongue. I don't want to come from your tongue. I want your dick. Oh, here we go. Mana was shaking her head from side to side as if to struggle against me, but I soon noticed her arm circling around my back. That arm was telling me not to stop no matter what. So I sucked at her breast just as hard as she had sucked at my dick earlier. She cried out as her nipple became erect. As she rode the wave, Mana was staring into space, her eyes slightly unfocused. The sight of her in the throes of her fourth orgasm hardened my dick as I continued to suck on her breast. Her chest heaved as she breathed raggedly. My breath was becoming ragged too, and I felt dizzy from the intoxicating fumes of lust emanating from her steaming body. Hearing her vocalizations and seeing her face contort in this way would drive any man crazy, and I was no exception. Mana's mouth moved slightly as she tried to say an actual word. I slowed down a bit and concentrated, trying to understand what she was saying. More. Aha, more! I imagine I heard her heart contracting powerfully. I breathed in powerfully. Mana's voice held no emotion but bliss. I sucked and slipped at her protruding nipple. As I dug the fingers of my right hand into her left breast, barely caring whether I was hurting her or not. I'm coming! My nipples are coming. Here in the woods by the riverbank where the air was cool and the evening sun came off a gentle warmth, the raw heat in Mana's voice seemed out of place. But right now, neither of us could care less about modesty or propriety. No, that's no good. No, I can't. It's... My groin leaped at a sensation, half pleasure and half pain. Mana's hands were clutching my towering organ. She was gazing at me with a complicated expression, her eyes wet with tears from the exertion. Everything I was doing to her breast seemed to flow through to her hands and return to my cock. We were locked in a cycle of mutual pleasure. Both of us out of breath, trying to climb to our respective peaks. The heat of the base of my spine was building. In the final moments, I summoned all my strength and sucked on her so hard I felt like her whole body would be sucked in my mouth. My lower body exploded into orgasm, and Mana was coming harder than all the times before. The cum spurting out of my dick in Mana's hands was just as strong and voluminous as the first time. But this time it wasn't obstructed by Mana's mouth or pussy, and was let loose into the open air. I nearly felt lost consciousness at the pleasure of it. Yeah.
He says, you're coming. Well, it's actually cook coming, but you know. She murmured indistinctly as she stroked my dick with her semen-covered hands, enjoying her own aftershocks. What sounds came from my groin. We were both looking at each other's faces, so I could only tell what was happening down there by touch alone, which made it all the more erotic. Mana? I'm here. I called her name, and she replied. She had come back down to earth. Her nipples, having lost their hardness, popped back into their breasts. And to her breasts, whatever. Realizing this, she closed her eyes tightly. Whew! I despondently continued licking the surface of her breast, disappointed at the nipple's disappearance. Now that the tension was released, she was taking the time to get her breathing back to normal. Our breathing, and our words. I thought about how closely they were related to each other, and then... I can't believe you treated me like that. How dare you? Huh? This was a surprise. I certainly didn't expect her to say something like that after our game was over. But you seem like you were enjoying it so much, Mana. That doesn't matter. I could see a sadistic smile returning to her face. Ah, yes, sometimes it was nice to see her submissive side, but in the end, I had to admit that this was the Mana I loved the most. And we looked at each other wordlessly. There was no need for us to speak aloud what we were going to do next, rather. What we wanted to do to each other. Mana parted her yukata and straddled me. I gathered her in my arms and pulled her close. Mana. She was dripping wet after what I'd done to her breasts, and she was slick with my own semen. So there was no resistance as my dick slid all the way into her pussy. Your dick is so hot, Makoto. I feel like it's melting me from the inside. I feel like I'm melting too, Mana. We paused to gaze into each other's eyes, savoring the moment of our union. And our first stroke was not with our bodies, but with our words. You're so warm inside, and so tight. It feels great. I'm surprised considering all the stretching you've given it. Mana adjusted her hips, and her vagina changed shape, pulling on my penis. After being finished off twice by her mouth and her hands, my dick was still as fat as ever, and that made it all the more pleasurable when her vagina clamped down on it. Recently, I've started to forget how much it hurt the first time. Yes, I remember that pain. Our first time hurt for her, and it hurt for me as well. I was so disappointed to find out that I was awful in bed, but of course nobody's a master on their first time. Since then, I'd gotten plenty of practice thanks to Mana. But I'm happy. And she was still here by my side even now, smiling gently. About what? About how my pussy and your dick are the same shape now, obviously. Ugh. My dick shivered happily at Mana's lewd word choice. She really knew how to create a mood. And she was right, my dick and her pussy were a perfect fit. Both of us smiled as we enjoyed the sensation. See what I mean? I'm just happy I was able to change to fit your wants and needs. Makoto, you can do whatever you want with my body because you're mine and I'm yours. She embraced me tightly. The pressure of her breasts against my chest was so firm, and yet her skin and under my fingers was so soft. I felt her fingernails begin to dig into my back. says, "Makoto, I love you." Mana murmured to me as she swung gently back and forth. I slowly pumped my hips in sync with her movements as I answered her. "I love you too, Mana." "Ha, I'm glad." She blushed and moved her head closer to my ear. "Say it more. I love you, Mana." "More. I love you." "I know. Ah, yes, there. Ah, I love you too, Makoto." I wasn't using my Kotodama, but every time I spoke, her body trembled and she exhaled a hot breath. Her soaked pussy kept smoothly taking my member in, and every time I pulled it out, her vagina clenched a little, so that the next time I entered her, it was forced open again. Her tightness felt incredibly good. "That's good. Makoto, your dick feels so good." "I need more. I need you. Makoto, give me deeper." She leaned forward, transferring more of her weight onto me. As her breasts pressed harder onto my hands, I watched my fingers sink deeper into her skin. So smooth, so soft, it was the best feeling. "Ah, hold on. You don't have to just hold them, you know. You can..." You like to play with them, don't you?" "Sure, but I think you like it even more than I do." I let Mana worry about what's going on between us down there and focus on manhandling her bust. If I went after her nipples, she wouldn't be able to concentrate on placing my dick, so I decided to use a more holistic approach. Mana squirmed in delight as I squeezed her breasts. "That's good. I love it. I squeeze them more. I love it when you're rough with me. I want to feel your hands." Her hips were beginning to move more and more and more lasciviously. Ah, lasciviously. "That's it. That's it. Yeah. Harder, harder, grab me harder. Like this?" I moved my fingers more forcefully, kneading her mounds. They were so bouncy and tight that I never wanted to let go of them. Yes, that's great. "I'll make you feel good too, so keep touching my boobs like that." Suddenly her movements changed. Now she was grinding back and forth against me. My dick responded happily to the new kind of stimulation. "Yes, yes, your dick is so hard. I love it. Ah, it's going all the way in, ah." It's wiggling deep inside me. In between her moans, I could hear the wet sounds of our naughty bits squelching against each other. It was so erotic that I couldn't help but thrust upward, piercing her. It's twitching, I can feel.
This is going on too long now.
It's so good. Does your dick, does he feel good too? I knew if I thought too hard about her question, the pleasure would make me come instantly, so I ignored her and went back to squeezing. I needed the flesh of her breasts in a regular rhythm, trying to directly stimulate the nipples hiding inside. What are you? Is that all you've got? Her initial surprise at my tactics had forced some rather nice sounds out of her mouth, but she was quickly back on the offensive, moving her hips with more vigor than before. Okay, folks, I got more to do, so we're gonna go ahead and run past these next couple lines and try to get this scene over with so I can work on the next part of content. She was moving her whole body, and I groaned in pleasure as her cervix hammered against my glands. You have to thrust more, more, fuck me harder, as hard as you want. It seems she liked it deep too as she ground her cervix against me. I wrinkled my eyebrows and grimaced as I tried to hold back the waves that was building inside me, while Mana was desperately trying to wring it out of me. Makoto, does it hurt? Mana was looking at me worriedly, her nose almost touching mine. She had misunderstood the look on my face. Her eyes were so beautiful, shining wet with tears of exertion. I could see snowflakes drift across the inches between us. Doesn't it feel good? Should I be rougher? How's this? She lifted up her hips and began to drop them down on me over and over. This was far different from her smooth motions until now. This works, doesn't it? Can you hear the slapping sound? Listen, it sounds so nasty. No, that's not. It felt great before, too. My dam was about to break, and Mana kicking things into high gear was only making it worse. My ecstatic dick felt like it was dying and going to heaven every time she body slammed it. I clenched my teeth. I couldn't stand it anymore, but I had to face facts. I wanted this. Mana, I thrust my member heavenward. Keep going. Deeper, Makoto. Right deep in my pussy. It feels so good. Okay, she dug her nails into my back, and I dug my fingers into her breast. It's like my boobs and my pussy both feel great. Okay. She must have orgasmed lightly as she shivered and collapsed against me. The last remnants of her usual icy expression had melted away from her face. It feels so good that I can't lift my hips anymore. But you haven't come yet, have you? Mana, I loved it when she pursued me, when she showed how much she wanted me. But in the end, she was more sensitive than me and almost always came before I did. If I really had my way with her, especially after she'd come, it might be too much for her. Don't hold back, huh? I was taken completely by surprise at her merciless words. At the sound of her kotodama, I felt something inside my head collapsing and washing away. Now it's your turn. Do absolutely whatever you want to me. Kotodama after kotodama tickled my earlobes as I realized that Mana had guessed what I was thinking while I was hesitating. My arms encircled her ever more tightly as my hips thrust upward, lifting her up the ground. My dick was already touching her cervix, but I forced it in deeper still. I knew it must hurt her, but she clung to me more strongly than before. So sudden. This isn't bad at all. I can't stop now, okay? I groaned as my pelvis thrust towards harder and harder. Don't stop. Our hips crashed together, seeking even more pleasure. Our bodies were making explosive sounds as they slapped together. No part of Mana's body was cold anymore. Sweat poured from her flushed skin. I listened to the sounds of our dirty juices. I felt her comfort inside as she came yet again. The rippling of her vagina felt like a throat swallowing my dick, and my thrusting faltered for a moment. I was coming. Just as my groin exploded, Mana leaned down and placed her mouth on mine. A shock of pleasure ran from my dick up my spine to the top of my head as I came, but I kept thrusting into Mana's pussy as the semen flowed. My dick refused to retreat and was trying to plunge even deeper into enemy territory. Mona let out a hot breath into my mouth every time my semen splashed onto her cervix, but she kept her lips fixed on me and started to deep kiss me. Saliva flowed from her mouth down into mine. It was as if she was giving me her fluids in exchange for mine. My ejaculation was ending, but her mouth was still sucking the breath out of me. Our bodies were still longing for each other. Yes, this is it. She was coming out of breath, but she was moving her hips even faster than before, using my spilled semen as lubricant. The sound of her buttocks slapping against my thighs and the sound of my semen and her wetness mixing violently together was leading me towards another orgasm. Mana, your pussy is drooling. Her wetness dripping down my thighs had soaked the hem of my yukata, and I could feel it cooling against my skin as the moisture evaporated into the late afternoon air. I can't help it. Help it when you're so rough. Let me taste you, Makoto. Let me have at you. Her embarrassment turned to further pleasure as she continued to move her hips. Every thrust into her pussy made my spent semen spurt out from the sides of her opening. She must have been doing it on purpose just to create those dirty squelching sounds. Good, that's good. You're grinding the inside of my pussy. You're scraping it. So deep. Keep knocking on the door. Ah, I love it. I love... A tsunami of pleasure was washing away Mana's ability to speak properly. As I pursued my own orgasm, not stopping for a moment, I was pushing her towards her own orgasm at the same time. I'm coming, Makoto. No, Makoto, you have to come with me. They always say that shit in these things. My hips weren't likely to stop until they made their next delivery of semen into Mana's vagina. I was ravaging her just as she was begging me to, just as her Kotodama was ordering me to. Mana, I'm almost there. Stay with me. Makoto, yes, fuck me, move more. Makoto, use me to come, Makoto, okay. It was time, I didn't care about anything else anymore. I shut out all distractions from my mind and let my body do its work, thrusting skyward again and again. You lifted me off your dick is growing again. Are you gonna come again? Does your dick want to come again? I want to come inside you, Mana. My dick was beyond stopping as it swelled within her hole, feeling the pressure from her walls even more strongly. I was losing it, just imagining the moment when I'd explode inside her. Come on, Makoto, come inside me. As a heat blossomed in my pelvis, hotter than all that had come before. Mana, I'm gonna come. Come in me, shoot your load inside me. Just shoot your sperm, fill my pussy with your sperm. Drown me, fill up my womb, Makoto, fill me all the way. Give me all your sperm, let me have your baby, pour it in me. Mana was shouting now, fill me, pour it into me, and I would grant her wish. I was coming. Finally. As the first spurt of my new orgasm washed the leftover semen away from her cervix, Mana reached her own climax and shuddered. I can feel it. It's not stopping. The sheer volume of my ejaculate exceeded the capacity of her vagina, forcing itself into her twitching uterus. With each pulse, my vision flashed white. Mana's powerful Kotodama, don't hold back, was forcing every last drop of semen to leave my body. I can feel it coming out. It's squelching inside me. I hugged her with all my might as she clung to me. I'll never let you go, I thought to myself. Bound together in this eternal moment of orgasm, I could only hear the sound of her heart beating at a furious, joyful pace. And all the while, my member continued to pulse, sending my semen deep into her. It seemed like this moment would never end. But finally, slowly, we returned to Earth. Mana was trembling as she held onto me, riding the aftershocks. I knew she had conquered it. She had accepted everything I had to give her, everything I had forced on her, and had managed to enjoy every last drop of it. I feel like I'm painted the color of you inside and out. And how couldn't I... And how couldn't I, when you came time after time after I had no idea you could come that much. Yeah, I'm pretty surprised myself, honestly. Ooh, that Kotodama was more dangerous than I thought. I thought I was gonna die. We tried a lot of things in the past, and putting three anti-inhibition Kotodamas on me was a first. One or two was nothing new, but three. I guess now we know how much you yearn for me, huh? She hadn't fully caught her breath yet, but she was more than able to flash me a sexy smile. Hey, for the record, I'd want you just as bad, even without those Kotodamas, you know. Spent, I felt myself starting to drift off as the weight of Mana's body lay pleasantly on my bosom. As I accidentally continued to fondle her breast, she looked down at me, narrowing her eyes. Makoto, you were going at it so hard, I thought you were really trying to impregnate me, were you? No, well, I don't know. I reflexively denied it, but on second thought, it wasn't so clear. Somewhere in the back of my mind, I couldn't deny that I had some kind of possessive impulse, a desire to impregnate her, a desire to make her mine, a desire to settle down with her and have a family with her. That was a natural happy ending of any relationship, wasn't it? Anyway, what about you? I sure didn't expect you to scream, "Let me have your baby," in the middle of sex. We weren't so naive that we didn't know that the fundamental purpose of sex was to make babies. But Namana rarely said anything aloud about having children. Probably she, like anyone else, wanted to bring progeny into the world one day, but I felt she wanted to keep me to herself for a while without any children getting in the way. I was joking. I don't think I could have gotten pregnant today anyway. Her ovulation period hadn't come yet, I guess. Our people were relatively infertile by nature, so every woman took careful note of the progression of her period. It's fine, don't worry about it, I was just playing around. Mon exhaled and snuggled closer to me, stroking my body. Her hand slid across my arms, my back, the nape of my neck. Enjoying the sensation of her light, gentle touch was the perfect way to wind down. She kissed me on the lips one more time. What's up? They call it deflowering when a girl loses her virginity, but I was just thinking I feel pretty deflowered today, too. Yeah, I looked down at her and I couldn't disagree. Her pale breasts weren't bruised as such, but large red splotches showed where my fingers had dug into her flesh. I must have unconsciously squeezed her harder than I should have while caught in the throes of orgasm. To tell you the truth, I'd be happier with kiss marks than these grope marks. Sorry, Mana. She smiled wryly and let out a sigh at my apology. Don't worry about it. They'll go away fast. And it makes me happy when you give me anything. Even these marks. Don't say that. Your body is beautiful and I never want it hurt by me or anyone else. It was the honest truth. I see. Thank you, Makoto. Her voice was gentle. It was so much gentler than normal that it made me feel a little strange. Your smell makes me feel safe. Mana nestled her face into the crook of my neck and breathed in the scent of my skin. I'll be waiting for the next time. For the next time you carve your name into my body. Mana. In lieu of a reply, she hugged me tight. You knew I'd do anything for you, Makoto. So don't say you're gonna leave the village. Mana, My mouth froze and no more words came forth. I was bewildered for a moment, but then I remembered, before things turned into an erotic direction, we had been talking. She'd asked me a certain question, and then put a Kotodama on me, saying I didn't have to answer. That Kotodama must have still been in effect, but what was I about to say if I hadn't been stopped by the Kotodama? Mana must have been incredibly tired. She seemed almost asleep as she lay against me, reminding me of the day we first made love. My heart rate had returned to normal after the exertion of sex, but now it was rising again for another reason. Had Mana come to offer herself to me just as a way to convince me to stay in the village? Is that why she mentioned getting pregnant, to make me think about settling down here and raising a family with her? But that meant, no, that couldn't be right. There was no way she came on to me just for that. She definitely wanted sex too. Mana wasn't the kind of girl who would sell her body with ulterior motives. It was true that although she liked to dominate me during sex, she still acceded to my every wish. But that definitely didn't mean she was a weak-willed person. She was entirely independent and self-sufficient. That was part of what made her so beautiful, and I admired her for it. So I knew that she seduced me today entirely of her own accord, and yet, in some ever so small way, part of it was calculated. Part of it was an act. My beautiful, noble, strong Mana that had compromised herself, had debased herself, all out of her concern for me, her love for me, her sense of responsibility for me, and I had made her do it. Because of my inability to decide for myself what path I needed to take, I had hurt my beloved Mana. I felt a fire of shame begin to burn brightly in my belly. No, not shame. The flames licking in the firewood of my heart were flames of anger. Yes, anger. I never realized it as such before, but anger it was. But now of all times, it's not the time for anger. Not now, with Mata in my arms. I couldn't allow my weakness to hurt her any further. If I did, I would never forgive myself. So suppressing my emotions, I held her tight. Makoto, I love you. I love you, Makoto. She murmured to me, nestled against my chest. In her words, there's no trace of the weakness I felt in myself. I know, Mata. I love you, too. I really did love her, and I needed to prove it more than she ever did. No more excuses. I knew that time had come. It was time for me to make the decision of my life. And holy shit, there you have it. Okay. And with that, we're done. My God, was that a long scene. There were four or five different CGs in that one. Man, that was a hell of a scene. I think we're going to end on that note. And this will be the Grim Lord, and I am out of here for Grimm's Hentai Corner. I'll see you next time.